It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Caitlin Harrop, in for Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and while it isn't quite time for spring gardening, it's the perfect time to start thinking about pruning those trees and shrubs in your backyard. Fortunately, the Hort Gang is rich in tree experts. I have two of them with me today. Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, is with us today. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And we also have Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. He's on the line as well. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
And we want to invite you to join the conversation as well with your spring pruning and gardening questions. Call 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. As a quick note, we're going to end Hort Day just a couple minutes early today to carry special coverage of a press briefing from the White House via NPR. So we encourage you to call in early today with your pruning and spring gardening related questions. Again, that number is 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Get us started today, Aaron. When it comes to pruning, what are you thinking about this time of year?
Well, this is a perfect time of year to get a lot of that work done, with one notable exception, and that are our oak trees. Their oak wilt is transmitted by a little insect that is attracted to pruning wounds, and this time of year it starts to become a little more active, and so apart from those oak trees, this is a great time to do it. There's no leaves on the trees. It's really easy to see all the branches, and we can get in there and remove anything that's dead or broken or scarred, and then work to try to get a good framework for the tree.
What is a situation in which someone would want to prune? Why is pruning important?
Well, it helps create trees that are safer. They have better branch attachments and can grow better and look better. It is particularly important when the tree is young. The first 3 to 5 years after a newly planted tree is put in your garden or yard is a really good time to make sure that we have one nice, strong central leader with good spaced branches at 45-degree angles all around it. That's our goal. Some trees do that more naturally, like I think of like our spruces and firs. They have that very strong pyramidal shape. And other trees need a little bit more help to get there. Things like maples or elms are good examples of trees that need a lot more pruning to help get that kind of strong central leader.
Right. And pruning is really about kind of working with the natural architecture of a tree, right? So how does one go about figuring that out and kind of working with that balance of art and science that comes with pruning?
Yeah, there is an art and a science to it. Ideally, we're not removing more than about a third of the tree or less each time we do pruning. And we're kind of looking, my first criteria is always, is there anything dead? Is there anything that's broken or has been rubbing or is diseased? That stuff goes first. And then once that stuff is removed, and I always remove a branch back to its origin point, not halfway down. That allows the tree, when you remove it back to that either trunk or major branch, leaving behind the branch collar, a little swollen area at the base of the branch, all the cells that are necessary to help seal up that pruning cut are still there and can do a really good job of that. If we cut in the middle of the branch, we promote a lot of bushy growth that's not very good for the overall habit of the tree, and it doesn't seal off as nicely, so we potentially have some issue with rot long term. So removing that is really important. So once I get out those diseased, once I get out those broken ones, then I can kind of look at the form of the tree and I can decide, okay, my ultimate goal is this shape. What can I remove that won't remove too much, but will help me towards that goal?
Okay, so pruning really starts with getting rid of those dead pieces, those dead branches. What are some easy ways to identify what needs to go?
Well, this time of year, there's no leaves on the tree, so it might be a little bit more difficult. If the branch is brittle, it's likely dead. So if you give it like a little tug and it doesn't bend, it snaps, it's dead. Often dead branches also start to lose their bark, and so if it's been dead for a little while, you can notice that too. The buds will be dried up on a dead branch, and if you scratch the surface lightly with your thumbnail, you won't see any green underneath, so that will be a good indication as well.
Okay. So pruning really is a finding the right time to do it depends on a lot of different conditions. We're talking about weather. We're talking about the conditions of the tree, the tree's health. How do we evaluate when it's time to start pruning? Does it kind of depend on the type of tree?
Well, most trees are going to be best pruned in the late dormant season, which we're in right now, because that sets them up really well for sealing off all that injury and growing into the upcoming growing season. So nearly all trees, that's a good suggestion. As I had mentioned earlier, the one exception to that, the one big exception to that are our oak trees. There is a little bug that transmits oak wilt, which is a fungal disease, and they're attracted to those pruning cuts. And so we always recommend that oak trees be pruned earlier, say December, January, into the middle of February, when that insect isn't as active or as active at all. If we are forced to do that pruning cut during the time where that insect is active, this is the only time that we often recommend using a pruning paint. And actually, it's just a latex paint that you put over the cut to seal it off, to protect it from that insect. All other pruning cuts on all other trees and shrubs do better without any tars or paints or anything like that.
There's kind of an opportunity for self-healing there, it sounds
like. Yeah. The trees do a really good job of it on their own. As long as you make a good pruning cut and do it this time of year, they're really well suited to doing that without any paints or tars or those kinds of things.
Okay. So generally speaking, would you say that there's a risk in overpruning? Is it possible to get a little sheer happy, a little excited with the clippers this time of year?
It is easy to do, especially once you start getting into it. And certain trees and especially certain shrubs will bounce back just fine. I think about in particular shrubs like barberry and spirea. These are even lilac. If you get in there and you remove too much, they generally, especially if they're otherwise happy, they generally bounce back just fine. One of the things we like to caution against is, in particular on young trees, limbing them up too far too early. Branches that are attached to that main trunk help supply that main trunk with all the necessary things they need to grow well. And if we limb the trees up too early, say because we want the convenience of getting the lawnmower around it or something like that, then we run the risk of underdeveloping the diameter or the girth of the trunk. And of course, long term, that isn't helpful to the tree. So we're looking to slowly limb trees up as they mature, not to kind of do it all at once at some point when the tree is still young.
Okay, so this weekend, parts of the state are expecting some at least decent weather. Let's say you're getting ready, you're going to go out, enjoy a little bit partly cloudy day. What tools are you grabbing to start your pruning process?
I do almost all of my pruning with a hand pruners, a loppers, or a folding pruning saw. So all three of these would fit in my back pocket if I want, well, not the loppers, I suppose, but all three of them would be easy to carry around and can do nearly all the pruning that I need to do. If I need to get a chainsaw out, typically that branch is pretty large, and that's when I would want to actually probably consider talking to an arborist or a professional. We don't want to make pruning cuts that large typically. I can saw through a 2-inch branch with a folding saw, a nice folding pruning saw, without much issue. If I feel like that branch is so big that I need power tools, then I'm probably going to bring in somebody to help me, because that branch is going to be really big to remove and potentially dangerous, especially if it's higher up in the canopy.
Okay, so bigger branches, err on the side of caution, get a little extra help.
Yeah, I get a little extra help, and never use power tools on a ladder. If you can't do it from the ground, you definitely need to get some help.
All right, good words to live by. Let's bring Richard Duran into this conversation. We're going to bring a couple people on the line as well. Again, you can call in with your Horticulture Day questions, 866-780-9100. James is on the line in Eldridge. James, what do you have for us today?
Well, I do have a contorted filbert I'd like to cut back. It seems to have the habit of growing over other shrubs. And I would also like to transplant some peony plants that are ending up in the shade. And I think it's a rose shrub. It's not a real rose, but it has a lot of tiny little buds on it. And when can I start transplanting? I see daffodils and crocus are coming up now. Is it safe to transplant peonies and other plants, though?
All right.
I'll take the transplanting question.
Oh, go ahead. Great.
As far as the peonies, typically the best time is late summer, late September, early October would be a good time, where you'd go out and you'd cut them back to the ground and then just dig them up. If you want to, you can divide the clump if it's a big. Make sure that each clump has at least 4 or 5 buds or eyes, and then replant. And when you replant, make sure the buds are basically 1 or 2 inches below the ground and no more than that. Now, the peonies are beginning to show up in central Iowa right now as far as just emerging from the ground. And if you did that very, very early, before the growth was, let's say, more than 2 or 3 inches tall, you could possibly do it this spring, but it has to be done very quickly. As far as the roses, you want to transplant those before they start to leaf out, so you should have plenty of time on those. I would say sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you should be fine.
All right, James, thanks so much for calling in. We have just about a minute left, but maybe you can get to this one quickly. Wanda in Linn County wants to know, last fall she planted 6 daffodil bulbs, and 2 weeks ago they emerged about 2 inches tall. Does she need to cover those with the colder forecast coming? We have about 30 seconds.
No, no, you don't.
A resounding no.
No, no. They know how to deal with cold weather. Those plants that come up early can deal with these temperatures just fine.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back in just about a minute to talk more do's and don'ts for spring pruning, and we'll get to your questions too. You can call in again to 866-780-9100. We're going to have some nicer weather this weekend. You might want to get outside and do a little bit of gardening, a little bit of pruning. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, is with us, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, is with me today as well. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Back in just a minute. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Caitlin Harrop, in for Charity Nebbe, who's taking a much-deserved vacation day. It's Horticulture Day, and we're talking spring pruning. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, are with me today. You can join the conversation with your questions about pruning or other plant and tree questions that might be on your mind. Give us a call, 866-780-9100, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We already have a variety of spring questions coming in for us, so I'm actually just going to head right back to the phones. Randy in Brooklyn is on the phone. Randy, what's your question today?
Hey, I've got a green gauge plum tree that died a couple of years ago. The whole thing, even this, the water sprouts, if that's what you want to call them. And then I've got a purple small plum. I always called it a bohemian plum that's about 500 yards away. And what I want to do is not have any more fire blights in the apple trees or the plums. Do plum trees catch fire blight?
Actually, plums do not. Fire blight is most common on apples, crab apples, and pears. Plums do not get it. But plums do tend to be fairly short-lived. They might survive for maybe 10 or 15 years. That's pretty common.
All right. Good luck with that, Randy. And we're going to head to Jim in Johnston. He has a question about some bushes. Jim, you're on the line. What's your question today?
Good morning. Yes, we've got some spirea bushes that have kind of gotten grown out and not looking good, grown out too far. I think you may have answered this in the earlier comments, but can I trim those back quite a ways, and when would be the best time?
Yeah, so spirea is actually one of those shrubs that responds really well to a renovation pruning. So this is where you basically remove all the stems back to the ground. And you can compare that to a rejuvenation pruning where you would only remove maybe about a third of the stems back to the ground. So spirea, if it's getting kind of crazy looking, you can remove everything back to maybe a couple of inches of the ground. It will come back from the root system and give you a nice kind of better form. And you would do that this time of year before the new growth starts. So anytime that the weather looks nice in the next week or two, you could go out there and trim those back like that. Those are really hardy plants that can take that kind of pruning pretty well.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for calling in. And you can call in too, 866-780-9100, iowapublicradio.org with emails. We have Will and Grimes on the phone. Will, what's your question today?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions, actually. We've got a nine bark, and it gets pretty straggly. I'm wondering, can I cut that hard back at the moment? And also, last year I planted an elderberry, I think it's a black lace. And in the pictures, it looked like it was tall and upright, but it just seems to be hugging the ground. So is there a problem there?
Aaron, do you want to take that one?
Sure. So for the nine bark, there are some gardeners who manage their nine barks just like I described with the spirea, where they cut them back to the ground every year. You get a smaller shrub with usually better leaf color, but what you sacrifice are flowers. So if that's okay with you, that's a way to manage this particular shrub, and it'll keep it kind of more kind of tidy looking year to year. The other plant, the elderberry, black lace does kind of have sometimes kind of a wild and open habit. It's not as vigorous as a typical elderberry, so it takes a little longer for it to fill out. I have had black lace elderberry kind of look like what you described. It's not typically something wrong with the plant. It's just not growing quite as vigorously and as upright as maybe a typical elderberry would. You can make some selective pruning cuts to kind of encourage it in the direction that you're looking for it to grow in hopes of getting some new shoots to come out and get you a little bit more height.
All right. Will, thanks for calling in. We're going to go now to Roxanne in Ames, who has some questions about her hydrangeas. Roxanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I love the program. I try never to miss it. My question is, I have two if we have time. We have little lime hydrangeas, and they're about 2 years old now. We're trying to allow them to grow maybe about 4 feet high. We want to get the height, but I don't know how much to prune them back so that they will bloom nicely this year. What would you suggest?
Richard, do you want to take that one?
Well, little lime is not going to get that big. It's not one of the bigger plants, so probably not much pruning at all.
All right.
Maybe some thinning. If it's really dense, maybe some thinning. But otherwise, it's not a cultivar that gets very big. That's the name, little lime. So it's pretty small.
And did you have one other question, Roxanne?
I was just going to say, do you cut it back right underneath the dead blooms?
Well, you can definitely do that. Right. If you still have the dead flower heads on top, you can definitely prune those off and just prune right below the actual flower head.
All right, Roxanne, thanks for calling in. We're going to go to an email here. Susan in Charles City. She says, I have a Floribunda rose or angel face, and I pruned and covered it in the fall with a styrofoam rose cone. What condition should I have to know I can uncover it?
Usually around spring break is when we start to look at uncovering roses. When you use a styrofoam cone, you have to be a little careful, though. They kind of act like little greenhouses this time of year, and so it can actually cause the plant to break dormancy earlier than it really should. This is one of the reasons why we often don't recommend using styrofoam cones for something like this. So in that case, taking it off a little bit earlier would probably be better. You might decide to take the cone off, but leave some of the mulch or leaf that you had inside there, straw or whatever you packed it with, around the plant. Maybe even put a little fence around it so it doesn't all blow away to help it get through the next couple of weeks. We're likely past all of the real drastic cold stuff. So I would say any time here coming up, looking at the long-range forecast, if you've got stuff that's not much below the mid-20s, you're probably okay to take it off.
Okay, and another email from Lynn. She says, when is the best time to cut back burning bush?
Sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks would be the best time to prune that. You can prune out as much as maybe a third, and it should be just fine. They adapt very well to pruning, but I wouldn't cut it back to the ground.
Okay. We're going to head back to our phones. And again, you can call in with your own questions, 866-780-9100, or email us, iowapublicradio.org. We have Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist with us, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens, on this Horticulture Day edition of Talk of Iowa. We're going to go to Mary in Fairfield. She has a question about pruning pear trees. Mary, what's your question today?
So every time I go out to prune my pears, they have all those branches that are going straight up, and then it's just confusing for me to prune my pear trees. And then also, if you have time, will you tell me about pruning old lilacs? So those are my two questions. Thanks.
Well, as far as pruning old lilacs, I would say what I would do is go out, if it hasn't been pruned in many, many years, I would select maybe 4 or 5 of the biggest stems and cut those off near the ground or as close to the ground as I can get, and then come back next year and take out maybe another 4 or 5, and the following year another 4 to 5, and do this again in late March. They'll still bloom. They'll still have some old wood. They'll still bloom. But after maybe 3 or 4 years, you will have basically rejuvenated the shrub. As far as the pear, the upright stems are not what you want. I would prune those out, prune them back to their point of origin, and if they are very dense, maybe some thinning.
All right, great. And we also have a question from Earl. He says that he wants to consider planting a tart cherry tree in Story County, and he'd like to eventually enjoy the fruit, but would also like it to be feeding wildlife. What animals and insects should he be thinking about when it comes to planting that tree?
Well, as far as the flowers, the bees will love the flowers. And if they leave some of the fruit when they begin to flower and produce fruit, the birds will eat the rest of the fruit, so that's no problem.
Yeah, it's usually hard variety, to compete with the birds.
Yeah.
As far as varieties, the two that we typically recommend are Meteor or North Star. They're both introductions from Minnesota, extremely hardy and very productive.
All right, we're going to head back to our phones, 866-780-9100, to join the conversation. Thomas in Waterloo has a question for us. Thomas, what's your question today?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I was wondering, I planted a yard last year with bluegrass and perennial rye seed, and we're getting close to laying down the pre-emergent crabgrass, and I'm wondering, is it too cold to do that, or should I wait, or what do you think?
Well, as far as the timing on that, we typically say here in central Iowa, we normally apply this sometime between April 15th and May 1st in central Iowa, Ames, Des Moines, that area. And let's say over the next few weeks, the weather is above normal on average, then I would probably shoot for maybe April 15th to the 20th. On the other hand, let's say we have, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, very cold weather, I would push it back to maybe April 25th to May 1st. So kind of play with the weather as far as what it does, but typically in central Iowa between April 15th and May 1st.
All right. Good luck with that, Thomas in Waterloo. Thanks for calling in. We also have Bill in Johnston on the line. Bill, what's your question today?
Yes, I have an Iowa wild rose, and I need information about how to trim it. It's growing all over the place.
All right. Thoughts?
So, well, with the rose, I think you'll want to get in and remove some of the kind of older, more kind of thicker stems. But ideally, you would probably approach this a lot how Richard described the lilac in terms of removing some of the older branches, maybe no more than a third of them, but doing it over the next couple of years. Probably the hardest part about this is all of the thorns. And you can actually buy, if you're really into this, or if you have a lot of them, it might be worth the investment. You can buy rose gloves that actually go up about halfway up your forearm to help protect from all the thorns. That'll probably be the most difficult part about this. Roses in general tend to be very forgiving shrubs when it comes to pruning. So, don't be afraid. Get in there, just don't remove more than a third.
And stay safe while you do it. We have an email from Leonard in Ames. He's asking about apple trees. He says, should I trim off all the water spouts or do they have value?
For the most part, I would prune out all of them. You really don't want them. They're typically not very productive. So if you have a tree that is well branched, besides the water sprouts, all the water sprouts come off.
Okay, got it. We're getting some questions about spring gardening, which, again, we're not quite there in a lot of ways, but we're all getting excited. It's not too far off. An email from Jeff in Des Moines. He says, I have various wildflower seeds. The instructions for seeding recommend winter stratification to break down the seed coat and stimulate them to germinate. I did not get the seeds scattered last fall or winter. The seed source said that you can imitate this process using a freezer and refrigerator. Can you talk about how to do this?
Well, as far as stratification, that basically means exposing the seed to moisture and cool temperatures. And for many woody trees, it's basically like 3 to 4 months. For many native perennial type plants, herbaceous plants, it may be just a few weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks. And a good way of doing that would be, for example, on the perennials, would be to go ahead and plant the seed like in a flat, using some potting soil, and then go ahead and moisten it, and then place it in a plastic bag, and then place it in the refrigerator. The refrigerator is perfect. As far as the temperatures are slightly above freezing, that's what they want. Leave the flat in there for maybe 3 to 4 weeks, take it out, and see if the seed will germinate within a few weeks. If not, maybe put it back in the refrigerator again for another week or two. But ideally, if you did this in the fall, nature takes care of it.
All right. That sounds like a good plan. From Thomas in Davenport, he says, we recently moved to a new house with no trees in the front yard. We would like to plant a shade tree near the driveway, but it would need to be about 5 feet from the concrete drive. Is planting a medium-sized shade tree a bad idea near the driveway? If it's okay, what kind of tree would you recommend?
Well, as far as recommendations, I would definitely not plant a maple. They tend to have very shallow root systems, and so they would cause havoc with like a sidewalk or driveway. But you could possibly put in maybe a smaller oak or linden or maybe a honey locust and see what they do.
Yeah, I would probably add to that list ginkgo. As a potential, making sure you get a named cultivar so it doesn't have the smelly fruit dropping on your driveway, and probably Kentucky coffee tree.
Okay, great options. Another question from Joe. He says, I have a young black walnut tree with two nearly identical trunks growing from a common base. Both trunks are 5 feet diameter and the tree is 15 feet tall. Should I cut out the trunks down to promote a more normal looking tree or a healthier tree? What are your thoughts on this?
I think this one's a little more difficult without seeing it. Certainly, trees, we see trees grow like this, especially in the woodlands. If both of these trunks look very solid and are, for the most part, upright, I probably wouldn't be really concerned about it. They are starting to get quite large, though. And so if it seems to be one of those things where if the tree failed, it would cause a lot of potential damage either to property or people or something like that, then it would be prudent to get rid of one of them, and I would select the healthier looking one to leave behind and remove the less healthy one.
All right, and we have about a minute left here, but a quick question from Eric in Madrid. He says, having recently moved into a new home in Madrid, is there a program through ISU or Ryman to identify shrubs and trees on my property?
Well, I don't know of any good website offhand. There are some good books that might be of some benefit where you kind of leaf through, and they would have some photographs of the actual plants as far as their foliage and their flowers. So that would be probably a good place to start.
Yeah.
Michael Durr, last name is D-I-R-R, has a very good reference book where he actually has photos of trees and shrubs. That might be a place to start.
All right. And we're going to have to take the rest of that question in just a minute. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. They're with me today. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll have a couple more minutes of Hort Day. You can email questions to Iowa Public Radio at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Caitlin Harrop in for Charity Nebbe, and it's Horticulture Day on the program. We've been talking about pruning trees and early spring gardening thoughts and concerns. With me now is Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. We only have a couple minutes left on the program, so I want to ask both of you about what you're looking forward to this spring. You probably have a lot of plans, a lot of opportunities to garden. What are you both working on? Richard, do you want to start out?
I'm looking forward to spring as far as taking a hike in the woods.
Me too.
We're supposed to distance ourselves, take out a walk in the woods maybe in maybe 3 or 4 weeks and see the Virginia bluebells, woodland phlox, and the other woodland wildflowers, which should be in bloom maybe in 3 or 4 weeks.
That's lovely. Aaron, how about you?
I'm just looking forward to getting outside and enjoying the weather. And much like Richard, I love this time of year to see all of the spring bulbs coming up. And I've already seen a few snowdrop and winter aconite, which is the little yellow buttercup-shaped flower. Those are already up like at Ryman Gardens, and it won't be a few weeks before we start seeing things like crocus and squill. And then we get into daffodils and tulips, and it's just one of my favorite times of the year with all that color and just watching everything green up.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you working on a plan for your own garden as well?
Oh, absolutely. I have new beds to be made, and as soon as it's not so wet that I ruin soil conditions by working in the garden, I will be out trying to get some of that work started, too.
I know. It's hard to stay away. How about you, Richard? Anything you're working on your own?
I still have to do some pruning as far as my crabapple, my spireas, and stuff like that.
All right. Well, thank you to both of you for taking the time to join our conversation today. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, thanks for taking the time as well, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Rick Brewer, Matt Alvarez, and Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Caitlin Harrop, in for Charity Nebbe. We'll have her back with us on Monday. And if you have any thoughts in the meantime, you can shoot us an email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Until then, it's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.